Hey, I bet you thought you were going to be listening to the Andy Social podcast.
But we're taking over for the next 30 seconds. It's Broden and Cody Flow State podcast. Where can you check it out?
You can check it out everywhere, all the podcast platforms, YouTube and Facebook as well.
That's right. And weekly we'll be talking about anything we can with whoever we can for as long as we possibly can get away with. It's a great time.
On our podcast, we chat to UFC fighters, elite athletes, comedians, whoever.
Anybody who's got a great story to tell, and that could be you, so maybe you'll end up on our podcast one day. You got to check it out, the Broden and Cody Flow State podcast, available everywhere you can find a podcast. Now, back to Andy's show. Thanks, Andy.
Hey, welcome to the Andy Social podcast, and before we kick into this week's episode, come on over and join me on Patreon. Patreon.com/AndyDowling is the place to go to support this podcast and me, everything that I'm working on. And support starts from only $1 a month, dirt cheap, set and forget, don't even worry about it. Just a little feel-good payment, a little flick of a coin my direction. There are additional tiers there, of course, if you want access to exclusive content, including a weekly podcast episode and lots of other fun things. Patreon.com/AndyDowling. Thank you very, very much. Hello. Welcome to the Andy Social Podcast, episode 237. And this week's guest is Sean Conway. Sean is a comedian from Perth, a very funny guy, which it's a good thing when you're a comedian. He's got a podcast called The Goat King Writers Club with Nathan Hull. He's been doing stand-up for quite a few years and has done a spot of acting as well over the years. You can go check out his world by going to totalconway.com. He's on all the socials, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Just search for Total Conway. The podcast is on the socials as well. And I'll have all the links in the show notes over at andysocial.net or andydowling.net. Nice and easy. But you guys know what I'm about to say. Enough yapping from me. Please enjoy this great chat with Sean Conway.
Well, if you get a camera, man, just send over the footage and you can be part of Rocket Podcasting.
Oh, yeah? All right, done.
Yeah. So it would just be you and us at the moment.
Yeah. This little empire.
Yeah, and then you can get a pass for being a Perth comedian.
Oh, mad. All right, done. This will be my foot into the door into the comedy world.
Fuck yeah, boy.
Oh, I thought it might have been a bit harder than that, but there you go. That's all it takes.
Nah, man. You just need to book a gig and you're officially a Perth comedian.
Oh, man. What's up? I mean, I haven't been to any comedy shows over in Perth, but I know a couple of Perth comedians. I think you know Hayden. And
yeah, I'm good mates with Hayden.
Yeah, yeah. He threw your name around yonks ago, said, oh, you got to get Sean on the podcast. I'm like, oh, okay, no worries. Now I completely forgot about it. And then your name popped up a few other places, and I thought, oh, well, I better listen to everybody and check you out. But I don't know if you know Sarah Furtner as well.
Yeah, I'm good mates with Sarah Furtner.
Yeah. So I know them, and I've known them for years, but like...
Oh, because Sarah's family's from Queensland, I'm pretty sure.
She may have some family in Queensland, but her cousin is in our band. So there's a pretty close connection there, yeah. So
fuck.
Yeah, so it's really weird. So
you're already a Perth comedian,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, there you go. I'm ticking all the boxes. Yeah, but I mean,
all you just need to do is grace our stages, mate, and you're done.
Oh, there you go. Oh, well, there's only one thing left to do. But I mean, you guys got to open your borders first. But I don't know.
Nah, fuck it. Yeah. Stay out, your dogs.
As an East Coast...
Even people from the NT, mate, we don't want them.
No,
they're
no
like the
way.
Cleanest people in the country at the moment. Stay the fuck out. Clive Palmer can fuck off too. He wants to come in.
Well, I was going to say, if it wasn't for Clive Palmer, I'd be like, come on, let us over. But now that Clive Palmer's going to town, I thought, nah, fuck it, leave them closed. Don't let that guy in.
Nah, just go sit with your fucking dinosaurs, you weird fat cunt.
I got really confused by him a few years ago because he was heavy into the meme stuff, and I didn't know much about his background, and I thought, oh, he's a guy trying to tap into the younger audience. He's kind of funny, blah blah blah. You know, watching him on Twitter back and forth with people, and then started to understand exactly who he was and what he does, and then sort of went pear shaped after that. I thought, oh, geez, okay, not the best person out there to be. Well, to be voting for if you if you...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got no idea about politics, man. So I treat politics like football.
Yeah.
You know, I've got one team, and even if they're the worst option, I'll still support them. Clive Palmer doesn't play for my team, so he can fuck off.
There you go. All right, done. He's not.
But he's got dinosaurs, so he kind of won me over with that, man.
It is kind of...
A grown man with dinosaurs.
It is kind of cool in a way. A bit worrying, but it's still kind of cool, yeah.
But he's nothing like that nice... was it Richard Attenborough or David Attenborough?
Oh, David,
from Jurassic Park?
Oh, I
think it's David Attenborough. Oh, Richard Attenborough.
No, Richard, yeah, it was his brother. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, I get those ones.
He's no Richard Attenborough.
No, he's certainly not. No, no, he's got a long way to go.
Yeah, our producer's dog, I think, is about to kill someone. Is that what all the bark is about?
I thought he might have been staring you down. Yeah.
No, he's outside, but we're in like a bad neighbourhood.
Oh, right.
He's like a really aggressive German Shepherd.
Yeah, right. So it's like a mandatory asset of the property.
Yeah. 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 Because we're not allowed guns, so we just get super violent dogs.
Man, there's some sketchy parts. I mean, there's sketchy parts of every city, but, man, there are some sketchy parts of Perth. I tell you what. I remember...
I live in it.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Are you familiar with the Burnies?
Oh, no. Not
the serial killer couple?
No.
The serial killer couple called the Burnies. They raped and murdered 6 women, and one woman escaped. And, they lived 3 doors down from where I live.
There you go.
Yeah, they're fucking weird. There's a Stephen Curry movie called Hounds of Love, which is not about the Burnies, but it's pretty much... The Burnies. It's set in the same suburb. Yeah.
Oh, God. All right. I'll make a note of that. I'll have to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
No, they were fucking creepy cunts.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I know. We stayed at a mate's place last year in Perth, and he lived in a pretty dodgy part of town. And his neighbor, it was sort of like a housing commission house on the corner. It had these really high fences, but the gate was open, and we looked in as we were reversing out of the driveway, and there was a guy that was lying on a beach towel, completely naked, and he had a hand pump of moisturizer and a razor, and he was shaving his balls.
Doesn't sound like our government housing, man. That sounds like the upper class people in Perth, man.
And we all went, what the fuck
fences?
Is that? Yeah, fences, that's
fences
right.
Fences was
yeah.
the dead giveaway, man, that it wasn't a government housing.
Mind you, it wasn't...
Unless it was tagged the shit out of.
It wasn't a brand new colour bond fence, so I can say that at least, yeah.
The only people that have fences in Perth, man, are bikies.
Oh, right, all right. Well, maybe it was an ex-bikey, or maybe it was a rental.
With hairy nuts, it sounds like.
Oh, God, yeah. And he was facing us, and he just looked at us and didn't even flinch, and we all went, oh, geez, what the fuck's that? And then our mate who lived next door, he says, oh, he's at it again. Oh, God, he's always doing that. Oh, geez, might have to call the cops again. Oh, I don't know. Oh, geez. Oh, well, anyway, and then we drive off. Oh, my shit.
Well, if he's always doing it, man, it might be like some medical problem. Like if he's always having to shave his hairy nuts.
On the front lawn, yes. Maybe that fresh air might be a necessity. You can't do it inside because of dust mites or something like that.
Well, who wants a house full of pubes, man?
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's right. And maybe, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how hair decomposes, but it could be good for compost.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, man. That could be...
Great minds think
fucking
alike.
Worms love that shit.
haven't tried it, but when I make my next veggie patch, I'll give that a go.
Fill it with pubes.
I'll hover over the top of the trough and... plant some for later.
Yeah. Let's see if Burt Backyard does a special on that. On that specialty.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. I didn't realise that. I always saw Perth as just this very sort of clean cut sort of city. And maybe I just had the perception of, you know, all the mining and all the mining money. But obviously it's concentrated in very small pockets then.
It's getting better now. Like the city's pretty clean, but it's like anywhere, man. You know, Melbourne says it's the most livable city in the world, but it's a fucking shithole.
It's pretty bad. I hate.
You know, you walk past Elizabeth Station, 100 meters, and then you get into like Crackville. You know, like the MCG and stuff. It's all nice for photos and shit, but you walk 100 meters in any other direction, you're likely to get stabbed by a fucking junkie or something.
Yeah. It's I think that's the worst place in the country when it comes to that kind of stuff. It's just...
They got good coffee, though.
Yeah. I guess they do.
That's what they always hang their hat on, is... Yeah. We got good coffee, man. Yeah, we've had some of the worst gangland violence in Australian history, but fuck, the mockers. Whew.
got gangland violence. They've got a massive junkie problem, and they've probably got the most concentrated... area of conspiracy theorists, like cooked units that live in Melbourne and the surrounds. And I just think it's like this absolute melting pot of chaos down there. But, you know, the most livable city.
You mean like the woke people?
Oh, yeah. There's some pretty out there stuff going on.
But Melbourne's always been like that. They've always had like this weird superiority complex over the rest of the country.
Yeah, definitely. Especially like that rivalry between Sydney and Melbourne as well. I mean, I don't know. I don't get much of it. I'm originally from Brisbane, and I moved down to Sydney.
Well, whereabouts are you now?
I'm in Sydney now. So I've been.
Sydney's not too bad.
It's okay. It's not. It depends on. It's like anywhere. Like we're just saying. Like there's certainly plenty of shit places in Sydney, and there's some nice places. But I never hear the rivalry stuff between cities. But if I go to Melbourne, I tell you what, you hear about it. Like, and it's just constantly being talked about. So I don't know. Maybe it's just the perception I've got of it.
Well, Melbourne talks about how much they hate Adelaide. And then you go to Adelaide and they just don't care.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, fuck whatever Melbourne thinks.
Oh, I love Adelaide. Adelaide's way better than Melbourne. Like, I'd actually live there. I would consider living there. Not forever. Like, just maybe, I don't know, a month.
2 weeks or something.
Yeah.
I'll give him a solid 2 weeks of my time, Adelaide.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I remember I flew over for gigs in Adelaide and the Dockers were playing. And the Dockers lost by 130 points in, like, miserable condition. It was the worst fucking trip ever. Whereabouts in Sydney are you?
I'm right in the city. I'm in Pyrmont, so...
I used to live in Petersham.
Oh, nice. Yeah, cool. Yeah. The old inner west. It's good. When I first moved to Sydney, I lived in Marrickville and then did some Peter's
Factory
for a bit.
And stuff.
Yeah, just up the road. Just up the road from Vic on the Park, and it was good. It was especially so. I came down for music, so all the musos lived in the area, and just that like-minded crowd, all the comedians and all that. So it was just sort of everyone sort of hived around the same little areas. So it was good for a while, but not sustainable on your wallet or your liver.
No.
Or just your sugar levels and then anything, just not good for anything really, apart from some good memories and had to move on.
Now, there's a couple of times I got too drunk in the townie.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the only place they let you in after a certain time. Like it was just where all the dregs went after, say 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock or something like that. And then you'd have to be on the lookout because, it'd be very, very easy to get kicked out if the security felt bored. And then start walking around and eyeing people off, and then suddenly you're getting plucked and taken out. So I've had a few late nights or early mornings there. It's nothing ever good has come out of those nights there at all.
Well, when I was living in Sydney, it was just when they brought in the lockout laws.
Oh right.
So like you'd get all this riffraff, like all these amateur rugby league players and stuff like that going that usually went into King's Cross.
Mm.
And then they all started going onto Enmore Road, which is like, you got, cross-dressers and all sorts of, artsy folk walking up and down the streets. And it's not really a good mix.
No.
So it was a real tense, pretty shitty time when I was living there.
Yeah. I think there was also the Marley further up sort of King Street towards the city. And that was always like the pub that stood out because it was the place that you'd have... Your footy players and you're sort of the stereotypical jock kind of crowd that would go there, and then they would disperse out later on in the night and then creep up King Street into Emerald Road and it was never a good mix. So and then obviously security then is responding to that. So then all of us local dregs, we had a harder time getting into places as well. Everyone's getting their eyes checked. It's like, oh, you glazed over. Oh, no, put some eye drops in quick, you know.
That's why we always used to head to Strawberry Hill.
Oh, yeah.
Strawberry Hill Hotel, which is 24 hours.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then Piedmont Bridge Hotel.
And it was right on the edge of the lockout laws.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you could go and, yeah. You drink there all the time.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, there's but some good
Sydney was weird for, like, gigging and stuff because you'd gig in the city and then you'd go to Cronulla and they're literally a completely different species of people. Mm. Like, their whole mindset, their whole philosophy on stuff is completely different. Well, I'm not sure if it's the same in Brisbane, but in Perth, like, you can drive an hour up the road and people are still on the same page of what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you drive an hour out of Sydney, people are like, what the fuck are you talking about?
It's really segregated in some parts of the city. Like, yeah, Cronulla, the Shire area, like those guys, they're born there, they live there, they raise their families there, and they do not leave. It's very rare that they'll leave, and they definitely will not go north. They will not go north of the harbour. And they will not associate. And it's the same with a lot of people on the North Shore as well. Like, they'll just stick in their little pocket up in the North Shore and not venture out. So it's weird. I don't really notice. I don't remember noticing that a lot when I was living in Brisbane. I don't know what it is about down here, but it's weird, and it would definitely be weird from a sort of comedy perspective. Because I don't know. Would you adjust what you're doing, or at least the delivery of the jokes depending on the crowd, or would you just fucking just go in there?
Fuck them. They get what they give. Yeah. It's not my fault that you're too dumb to realise that these are jokes.
Well, you can't show any weakness, because if you show weakness and compromise, then they're after you. So yeah, just dominate.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, you know, I got cancelled the last 2 weeks ago?
No.
When did I get cancelled? It was 2 weeks ago. About 2 weeks ago. Going back to like the woke culture and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was like the worst one you can get cancelled for, because when I tell you what it is, you're not going to believe me.
Okay.
And this chick tried calling me out on one of the Perth comedy hubs for being a large presence that gives unsolicited advice. So to sum that up for you, I got cancelled for being fat and helpful. That was that was pretty much. Yeah,
that sounds like a new special. Like, I don't know if you've got plans on working on a special at the moment, but that sounds like a really fucking good name for a special. Yeah. Fat and helpful.
fat and helpful. but like, I think I nipped it in the bud immediately because I accused her of fat shaming, obviously.
Oh, perfect.
You know, when she said that, I accused her of fat shaming, and then she like backpedaled and stuff like that. But she used all the political terms for it as well, man. But like, you break it down, it was just saying that I was fat and helpful, and it was just like, yeah, whatever, you fucking idiot.
Oh, man. Did she get any support, or did she sort of get attacked by everybody else?
Well, I think she would have got support, and then I accused her of fat shaming, and then she got no support.
Oh, right.
So I cancelled her cancel. That makes sense.
It was cancelled out.
Yeah, it's like chess, mate. Yeah. Living today is like chess. It's
fucking checkmate.
No, you can't get me, man. I keep my hands to myself.
Oh, man, that is so funny.
And I keep my dick in my pants. You can't cancel me, bro.
Hell,
I've just got
you.
Mean shit to say. In her defense, I don't think it was anything like real great advice that I gave her. It was probably like quick comedy shit.
Yeah, right.
And, but no, it wasn't anything that bad. It was, but yeah, that tickled my fancy. And now, yeah, like you said, it should be my new comedy hour.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Fat and helpful. Should be a travel show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I mean, the possibilities are endless. So you could just travel around the country, or at least you can't even leave your own state at the moment. So maybe you can just, you know, travel around the state and just go to different people in town and just strangers and walk up to them and see if you can help them out and just, I don't know,
well,
pick up a bag or something.
I am doing like a 5-minute bit on how I got cancelled. But I speaking of like going to like Cronulla and having people not knowing what you're saying, I did a gig in a place called Mirrawa, which is north.
Right.
Like, and then you're heading into country. And I'm talking about it and people are like, what the fuck is cancel culture? And it was so refreshing that they didn't know what the fuck I was talking about. I was like, I should just move out here. Like, it's so, you know, it was liberating. No drama, no fucking nonsense. It was great.
So then did you just unleash all of your Nazi jokes and everything as inappropriate as possible? Because it's like, oh, well, they don't know how to cancel. Then it's not in them. So just let's unleash.
What, you think I'm... So I should have to do the cancelling for them? But one of these Nazis...
Yeah, I'll show you how it's done.
Hey, Hitler wasn't that bad. Let's just put that out there. You know, I mean, if you take away the genocide, he had a real good fashion sense, great for the automobile industry.
He was very strategic.
He inspired probably the...
You know.
Inspired the greatest comedian of all time, Charlie Chaplin. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
People got to stop looking at the bad things people do and just start appreciating the good things that people have done.
That's a glass half full perspective, and that's what we need more of.
Exactly. You know.
Oh man, a few months ago, I think you saw me put up a post on one of the things you wrote on Tumblr about living in Sydney. I forgot all about it, but you just reminded me. When you're talking about getting cancelled for being fat and helpful, but that thing that you wrote, and I'll chuck a link in the show notes or whatever for people to have a read through. But it was so well put together, and the way that you described your time in Sydney and dabbling in what appeared to be just this headache of a world of acting was just so entertaining to read. Is that something sort of, because you only wrote a few months ago, was it something that sort of reflecting back that you would consider going back into again? Or is it more of a case of that's a chapter that's done? Yeah, just in general.
Well, I actually just got a role as a fat rat. Yeah. So I'm doing a commercial. I've got actually a fitting tomorrow for this rat costume.
So you're keeping theme.
If they need a fat dude, like I'm in the top 10 of the list of people they call. You know, if Magnus Savansky can't do it, then it's usually my no. Then it's usually me that gets the call up.
I don't know if you've got a LinkedIn profile, but you need to start tagging your LinkedIn profile with fat qualities or best fat asset. Or
yeah, I'm like, you ever heard of Fluffy, the comedian?
No.
Gabriel Iglesias, oh, that's his whole thing. Is he's it? Like a big fat Mexican
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, right, okay.
And but instead of saying fat, he calls himself Fluffy.
No, okay.
And he wears like Hawaiian shirts and stuff. He's interesting as like a business dude, but as a comedian, it's not my cup of tea.
Oh, there you go. Well, you might have a mentor there that you can follow in his business footsteps at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you...
Yeah, you... If I start wearing Hawaiian shirts on stage...
I'll know where that's
actually,
come from.
I probably shouldn't say that. No. I've been rocking the Hawaiian shirt for a while. But, yeah. Yeah, he's an interesting dude, though.
Yeah, yeah. Is it something with the fat stuff now that, like, it's just... Fuck, you just lean into it?
Nah, you don't... It's kind of like you having hair and being like, oh, they just want me for my hair. Like, it's just... Don't really control it, man. I remember, I think I might have mentioned it in that Tumblr thing that you were talking about was I got a commercial for Sad Fat Dude with Cancer.
Yeah.
And the way that they just, my agent called me up saying, because it was like a high paying job, like I think it was like $5,000 or something for 3 days' work. And she was like, look, man. Since you came on our books, you're like one of the most talented actors that we've got, and you know, like you've really just excelled with your talents. And I'm just like, fucking yeah, I have, boy, yeah, yeah. I'm the next Heath Ledger, motherfuckers, fucking recognize. And then I read the character description, and it was like fat, you know, bald in hair, bad skin. And I'm just like, I'm not that thin-skinned that you could have just said, physically, you're good enough for this role. You didn't have to blow smoke on my ass. But I think that's the problem. It's a lot of spoiled little rich kids in the acting scene that are just like, oh, no, I'm a real fucking artist. I'm great at reading other people's words for money.
the complicated world of reading off a sheet. Oh, yeah.
You know, I spent all night learning this page of dialogue. I'm a fucking artist. Stop paying me some goddamn respect.
Was any of that stuff stressful? Like doing just any of these acting gigs? Because I don't know. I mean, I know getting in front of
the
camera.
Oh, that one was.
Bit...
It was 3 days of fat shaming, man. Like that sad fat dude with cancer was literally 3 days of fat shaming, where they're like taking photos and it's like, extend your belly out. And it's just like, Jesus, like it felt like an absolute freak show. But like when the money hits your account, man, it's like, okay, I guess I'm the sad fat dude with cancer. You know, if you're getting paid, man, I'll do anything. That's a pretty shady thing to say. Yeah. But, you know.
You chuck it on your CV.
Got to hustle, bro.
Yeah, oh, that's it. That's it. Yeah, chuck it on your CV now. Just, highly qualified in this particular niche field and available at any opportunity that arises.
Yeah, man. But, if there's anybody that are looking at actors that are fat, look like they got cancer. Yeah, then I'm the guy for you.
All right. That could be it.
What about you? You done any acting?
No, I've never done any acting. But just in the last couple of years, I think just the way that everyone's, you know, jumping on the whole content bandwagon and, you know, filming things and getting in front of a camera, whether it be a smartphone or you know, a DSLR or whatever it might be. Like, I fucking get anxiety as soon as I can see my own face and I see the reflection back, or I know I'm being filmed, and I just totally self-conscious about it. So I'm always fascinated when people do it, because I just think, you know, how do you, I mean, I think for some people it's just a natural thing. They just don't give a shit and they just get in front and just do their thing and that's it. So, yeah.
Well, I think the secret is you don't look at it.
Yeah, true.
So, like, because with our podcast, the Go King Writers Club, we got a producer and he films us and we're sitting in front of a green screen, and then it comes out a week later and we're watching it like we're fans as well.
Yeah,
so
cool.
But then it's kind of like, oh, dude, you really say that? Fuck. And like, man, I really mumbled on those words. Like, the insecurity does come out, but having someone else make the content and, do all the hard work makes it a lot easier for me. I can just sit back and eat snacks.
And you probably forget about the cameras, I assume, after a while anyway.
Well, I'm doing it with a mate of mine, Nathan Hull, that I've known for like 20 years. So we kind of have an idea of what we're doing when we walk in, and then it's not anything like we thought when we walked out. Like, it's like the complete opposite. It's like the episode that's about to come out tomorrow is all about, it was meant to be like a real Millwall football club thing, which I think you... You know Millwall and like the hooligan history of
Millwall? not in depth.
Yeah, so we talked about that for about 10 minutes, and then the other 50 minutes was about religion and Jesus. And it's like, how the fuck did we even get onto this fucking topic? But you know, that's also we got like a nice little structure, but there's also a lot of random nonsense that comes into play. So it's also like fun to be a part of.
So what's the main sort of plot of the podcast? What's the theme that sort of is that consistent sort of thing for each episode?
So each episode we start off with like a 500 word story, and we draw art based on that story, and then we kind of guess each other's story based on the artwork and stuff, and then we read it. And with being limited to 500 words, it really, after about 300 words, it becomes a very convenient ending, you know. So it's kind of like, you know, we had one and it was just like, oh, they found a nuclear bomb. How convenient, you know, just so we can get to the 500 word or keep it under 500 words. Otherwise, we'll blow out to like 2,000 words and it's like 30 minutes reading it. So we do that. It's like short stories based on that. And then we have the 99 word random story mashup, which is where we have a jar of locations and a jar of characters and we randomly draw out characters and locations like, you know, fisherman in a time machine or clown at a riot, you know, just really random. And then we write a 99 word story based on that. And then we also let the audience know a week before filming that's the topics. So we get artwork, like, and we're talking real killer artwork from like some amazing Perth artists and stuff. 99 word stories. And they also, if they can kind of spin a true story into it, like a 99 second true story, they come up and read it and stuff. So it sounds a lot more wankery than it actually is. It's a lot of dick and fart jokes, but I love it, man. So yeah, there's no scarves or cob pipes with our stories, man. It's
not yet anyway.
It's like, no, it's very much durries, and it's well, it's called Goat King based on Shivers Regal, which was what Hunter S. Thompson used to drink bottles of daily. And Shivers is like a female goat and Regal is king and royalty and stuff. But when we started sharing the content, like boosting it on Facebook Facebook ads and stuff, a lot of people from regional Queensland who are super religious thought that it was like Antichrist, Satanist sort of stuff, and they just kept posting a bunch of Jesus Christ candles and all sorts of stuff. And it's like, just watch the episode for more than 2 seconds and you'll know what the fucking show's about. So
can you throw those people our way? Because the name of our band's Lord, and we get so many
with an A?
No. Oh, I haven't heard that one before. Oh, very good.
I'm Lord, Lord, Lord. Whatever, I forget with.
Well, we get slammed with religious fanatics all the time, mainly from Africa. We don't
they're pretty red hot
big time. We don't get too many from Australia, which I feel it's a real untapped resource because hopefully what we would hope is that they actually like the music, thinking that there's a religious undertone there that they can really identify with when there is zero. And they become...
Oh, you're like a real POD sort of band, are you?
No. Hey, we'll be whatever sells CDs. So if people want us
hey,
to
Hey, I'm
that,
with you, yeah, brother. Yeah. I'm the sad fat dude with cancer, remember? I'll do nearly just about anything for money.
I've got a feeling we've got a lot in common. Yes.
I think we're going for different roles, though, in movies, though, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, that's all right. They might need multiple characters in a movie. So, yeah, just keep the long head... the long head, metal head in mind as well. But
we'll do, man.
But yeah, we cop a lot of that stuff. So it can be awfully confusing.
It's also kind of fun though.
Oh, it is. It's entertaining. I mean, I share a lot of that stuff on our page as well, and so people get entertained and it's more content for us, so it's always good to share some ridiculous shit like that.
See, I don't mind I don't like people that come back with like bad religious facts because I think they kind of just sunk to their level. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like people that are just like, oh, you know, we'll explain this part of the Bible. It's kind of like, hey, look at this idiot that just said that Jesus is crying because of our music. You know,
I just reply.
Just let them do the comedy.
I reply back and say thanks, and then I link them to a YouTube video or something like that, a video clip, and go, hey, enjoy the music or something. Like that. I'm just trying to milk it. Just go, come on. I'm sure you might like a tune. Maybe buy a CD.
Yeah. Oh. Man, you should make your merchandise super religious so people in Africa and all that start buying the merch and then they hear what sort of music it is? Like death metal?
Nah, it's like 80s.
Or just heavy
metal?
Yeah,
just 80s metal like Iron Maiden and stuff like that. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Just lots of guitar solos and sing along stuff. So you know, it could work. You could get some really sort of cheap shirts done, and I just put them in a box and just send them to the, you know, I don't know, Kenya or something like that, and just unleash
Kenya
them.
The Yeah, the heartland of Christianity.
Well, it is now anyway. As at the time of doing this podcast, it is now. I've officially there's boxing.
No, yeah, I know a lot of. Yeah. Well, I know a lot of religious fanatics, but it's you don't just shut up. Like, we get it. We know what your angle is. You know, I'm kind of more open-minded to that sort of stuff.
Well, look, I think everybody in the end is just trying to make a buck themselves. So, you know, even on their end.
Like that Houston church. Remember that Houston church where it flooded? Do you remember? What was that?
The super church.
The super church in Houston.
No.
And then Houston flooded. Yeah. And he was like, we don't want people in our church. Oh. We just got the carpets done.
Oh, man. Some of those mega churches or super churches are scary, scary places, man.
Send in money. Send us in money and we'll say some prayers for you. Like, it's a good scheme they got, man. That dude flies around in a brand new jet every year.
Oh, is that? Oh, I can't remember that guy's name, but there's a video from him.
Do you know the dude's name?
Oh, it was a couple of months ago, and he had a video.
He looks like
he's got really blue eyes, like really piercing eyes. He'd be in his 70s.
Yeah,
for sure.
He looks like a cross between those two puppets, Hecklin and the Muppets.
Yeah,
but with like blue eyes.
Yeah,
Joel Osteen.
What's his name?
Joel Osteen.
Joel Osteen.
Right.
Yeah, Joel Osteen. Yeah,
scary guy. Because there was a video of him where he was. He was trying to like exercise the demons, but it was COVID, and he was spitting at the camera. And he's like, "Begone, virus, evil virus." And it's like, I don't think that helps. I think spitting is part of the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah. It kind of freaks me out.
Yeah. Very scary. I saw your comedy for the first time last year. You were opening up for Kill Tony.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. How, because I think you've worked with Tony Hinchcliffe for a while, but how did that all sort of come to be? Because it sort of, even sort of Tony threw a few comments out sort of during their show your way, and it seemed like you guys have sort of known each other for a while.
Yeah, so my mate who flies out Hinchcliffe, teed me up for one show. So she looks after me and a couple of other comedians and stuff. And she teed me up to open for him in Melbourne at the Comics Lounge because I've never done that room before. And I think it was the last show of his run. And the night before, he had a magician comedian open for him.
Yeah.
And fucking hated it. And I'm up there doing like really dark sort of material and stuff. And then he just grabbed me by the shoulders after the gig and he's like, whenever I'm in Australia, you're opening for me like every gig. and then I just held him to it. And then, so I pretty much opened for him. I toured everywhere with him the next time he came out. And then I toured everywhere with him when Kill Tony came out. But before that, I was already mates with Joel Jimenez, the drummer.
Yeah, cool.
So, but yeah, it was that Kill Tony crew were like the nicest dudes I've ever like performed with, man. Like Brian Redband is like one of the nicest people you ever meet. Same with Jeremiah Watkins, man. Like, yeah. Like, what if it's how you'd want people at that level to act, but they rarely do.
Mm.
And yeah. Can't speak highly enough of those guys.
Yeah, I've been listening to Kill Tony for a couple of years, and just one of the most intimidating and cringeworthy sort of shows that they put together, just like, you know, listening to people just get burnt alive on stage and ripped apart. And initially, sort of without knowing a lot of sort of backstory to a lot of the guys, you just think, oh, these guys are absolutely fucking ruthless, my God. And then you sort of see them in different lights on different podcasts and doing their own comedy and stuff like that. And, there's certainly more to them. And, been a big fan of a lot of those guys and their stuff. So it's cool to see, I mean, obviously, you know, a lot of Aussie comedians have traveled the waters and got over to the US and done a bunch of stuff. And it's just cool to see more comedians sort of interlocking with some of these big guns, because the US and, you know, the UK have always been sort of the mecca with a lot of stuff in the comedy world, I assume, at least from my point of view. So
yeah. I think it's, you know, different perspectives from different comedians. Some comedians look at Melbourne as the UK as like, that's where I want to end up, where I've always been like an SNL, you know, Eddie Murphy, Chris Farley sort of comedy fan. So I've always seen the USA as like a destination that I'd always want to go to. But I did go to see Kiltony when I was in LA, and I was that blackout drunk that I'm so glad they didn't draw my name out. And I'm just there, and I think I'm kind of half-baked as well, sitting with Wee Man from Jackass.
Wow.
And just kind of watching Kiltony and talking to Wee Man from Jackass in, like, the main room of the Comedy Store, like, what the fuck am I really doing here? Like, it was just the most mind-boggling thing that, you know. And then I went outside and borrowed a light from Andrew Dice Clay.
Wow.
Like, it's one of the strangest places on earth, man. Like, if you're a comedy fan, like, the Comedy Store in West Hollywood is, you know, mecca. Like, it's pretty much the Vatican of comedy.
Yeah, because they all seem to go there just to hang out as well, from what I see. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I haven't been to the Comedy Store, but I've been to the Rainbow in Hollywood. And from a musician point of view, that's like, I guess, the equivalent, where you would go there and you just bump into all these, you know, rock and metal musicians from the 80s and you know, current guys, and they just go there and drink because they live in LA and that's just their local. And you just be looking around going, what the fuck? Like, who's that and why are they here? And then you realize, oh, this is their backyard. You know, it's them going down to their local bar, you know, so to speak. So it's a wild place.
That was crazy. One of the things, one of my mates, she's mates with, I think, the singer or like just one of the band members from the Perfect Circle.
Yeah, right.
And I was just like, when she told me that, I was just like, what the fuck? The Perfect Circle. Like, my high school just raced back, like nostalgia just crept back in. And yeah, but you're right, man. Like, LA is just a weird town. Like, you walk down the street, you never know who you're going to see.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a completely different world. And for us to live in the arse end of the world, it's just so foreign. It's just such a weird place. I mean, it's probably weird for anybody really, even in the US in comparison to LA, but it's its own unique thing. But I'd love to go to the Comedy Store and just, I'm certainly not putting my name in that fucking bucket, that's for sure, but I'll sit back and laugh at everybody, you know, absolutely getting burnt on stage.
Oh, who was the night that I was there? It was Doug Benson.
Oh yeah, cool.
Was the guest. And yeah, man, they were fucking savages, man. Like, a lot of weak acts, and it was just pretty much just watching lambs walk into an abattoir. it was just savage, man.
I don't know if you could get away with that in Australia. I don't know. Like, to the level that they do it, it's just, they're just ruthless. And I think people get it, but I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure whether that would work.
Well, it could and it couldn't, you know, because it's, like with society and stuff, there's people that have thick skin and there are people that aren't thick skin. And because in retrospect, compared to the US, the comedy scene's nowhere near the size of the US. So for them to have that sort of show and be successful at it, it'd be hard to pull off in Australia because, you know, the people that are that sort of comedian are very few, and they're spread out across the country. So it would be hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Might as well. We should all just move to LA, I reckon, when this COVID shit's done.
Yeah, all right, done.
Get a TV show as a fat, sad dude with cancer. Just be on, like, Grey's Anatomy and ER all the time.
Hey, I see a market for COVID patients in these new drama series. So if you can find a way to be sort of a fat COVID patient, you might...
Well, I smoke a lot, man, so I can have that real heavy breathing sort of sound. I'll leave my Ventolin at home and just get the...
Oh.
Yeah, it would be great.
I think there's a real opportunity for there for you. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'll be watching. I'll be watching your career, your career path as you move forward into the depths of LA with COVID.
With my fat rat showreel.
Oh man, yeah. Oh, it's just incredible place. I mean, just have you toured over there at all? Like when you went over there, did you do any spots anywhere yourself or have you had any?
Yeah, I did. I bombed everywhere in California.
Okay, that's an achievement.
I don't know what it was. I know I bombed at the Comedy Store, which I didn't mind because it was just all comics. Just like, come on, cunt, hurry up. Like, you know, I got to do my spot, like wrap it up sort of thing. So it was a room full of comics and no fans. And then I went down to San Diego to do a gig at, I think it's called Reds. And it was like, it's the room where comedians about to do Conan or, you know, Letterman or that, they go to this gig to get their show reel because, like, it's just red hot every single night. And I went there on the night that the LA Dodgers lost the World Series. And it was the worst vibe of any comedy gig that I've ever performed in. Just this whole room of people that are like just super depressed, all wearing the same colors. Like it was like a high school graduation where like the school bully was doing the talking. It was, but then we went to a brothel in Tijuana straight after that. So it wasn't too bad. Guy called Ari Manis from Unlicensed Therapy. He drove us down to Tijuana to check out a Hong Kong brothel, which is pretty cool. Great enchiladas. It was a great trip. And then I did Vegas after like 5 nights of bombing in California, and I was furious and depressed. Like my whole goal was to move to the US, and like these guys just weren't getting my comedy. And then I went to Vegas and performed at a black room in a strip club in Vegas on like the back streets of Vegas. And blew it up, man.
Oh, really?
It was like 12 people in the room, and it was still one of the best gigs I've ever done in my life. Like on a catwalk stage, you know, no, like not one white light. It was all like that purple red sort of mood lighting of a strip club. And then I went to Atlanta and just performed every night there. And Atlanta was fucking next level as well, man. Like it was one of the coolest cities I've been to.
Yeah, Atlanta's cool.
And then I went back to LA and bombed some more and then went home.
were there more black rooms in Atlanta as well? Or just
I didn't do any black. Well, Atlanta, I don't know. Atlanta's like a very diverse sort of city. And Vegas, I don't really understand the whole black room sort of mentality in the US. But yeah, they've got them and whatnot. And so I only did the one, but I think there's a few in Atlanta, and I think there's one that's like pretty dodgy, which you don't do. Yeah.
Well, I thought that you may have just tapped into a whole new market that you just never expected, and suddenly you just this massive comedy and sort of the African American sort of community in the US. Like everybody else doesn't.
No, it was kind of like, well, as a comedy fan, like you kind of know of like this myth of like black rooms in the US, and it was always like a bucket list sort of thing is that I want to do like a black room. But like Big J Okerson always did black rooms and stuff with Kevin Hart when they were starting out. Bill Burr used to always do them. It's just the same. It's the sort of rooms where you got to own the room. Mm. Otherwise, the crowd will, you know, like you hear stories of the old Apollo where the crowd turns on people that aren't owning it, you know.
Showing that weakness.
Yeah, Yeah, exactly. You know, you just got to look, you know, you just got to get in your fight pose and just smash it out.
So I assume you're going to go back again once, well, if the country doesn't completely implode.
Yeah, hopefully. Sorry, what's that?
Knock on wood.
Knock on wood. Hmm. Who knows, man? America might not be here tomorrow. Yeah,
it's not looking good.
not if Clive Palmer can out of his way. I don't know. That was the worst callback I've ever done in comedy, I think. Well, at the moment, I'm pretty much focused on this Goat King Writers Club podcast. So I'll be pretty much focused on that, doing spots. And then if I'm back in the US, it'll probably be with Goat King and then just doing gigs as an offshoot of that.
Yeah, from even like a music perspective, nobody has a clue what it's going to look like, you know, and no one can even plan. I mean, I keep seeing bands that are booking tours for next year, and I'm just like, don't even fucking bother. I don't know if it's going to happen. Because, yeah. I mean, at least with comedy, I don't know. I mean, you can tell me if I'm off the mark, but at least you can kind of get away with spacing people out in a club and people can sit down anyway and sort of you don't lose. I mean, you will lose a little bit of the vibe because you can't pack people in like you'd like to, but it still doesn't remove a lot of what it is. But I think for music, I mean, they're already doing gigs on the East Coast where you have to sit down at a table in a live room with a band on stage, and it's just like, oh, I mean, how does this work? Unless you're doing some soft, gentle lounge music, I don't know if it'd be good to sit at a table watching like a metal band play. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's kind of the opposite, you know, where you guys all want to stand up and crash and bash next to each other. Where in comedy, you kind of want your space, you kind of want your table. But like comedy wouldn't work if you're just all standing up, bashing and smashing each other.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, so it is what it is, man. Like, I don't know what it's like in. Oh, Sydney's pretty shit, eh, with COVID.
It's getting there. We're
pretty much back to normal here. Yeah. Is there anything that we can't do?
Keep Clive Palmer out.
Oh, yeah, we're keeping Clive Palmer.
Trying to, anyway.
Yeah.
No,
we're fucking sweet.
We'll take his dinosaurs for our King's Park.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we'll only let you in if you chuck those on the back of a flatbed and bring him over.
Oh, no, they're my fucking dinosaurs. But no, we're pretty much back to normal here, man. I'm not too sure about the music stuff. I haven't been to any music gigs lately, but like comedy seems to be back to normal.
Yeah, that's
cool.
So, yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll just be the travel. I think that'll be the big thing. It's just trying to do anything outside of your own neck of the woods is the tough part. So time to own the Perth comedy world.
What, me?
Yeah, why not? I mean, I can't get over there.
I already own it, bruv. There's a reason why I'm on your podcast, bro. It's because I'm the best in Perth, goddammit.
Why not go and check out Sean's world by going to totalconway.com? He's also on the socials, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can search for Total Conway. You go and check out his podcast, Goat King Writers Club with Nathan Hull. Very funny podcast. And considering you're listening to a podcast right now, it's never been easier to type in Ghost King Writers Club into the search bar, and off here go. Off to the races. Nice and easy. But I'll have everything in the show notes over at andysocial.net and andydowling.net. Nice and easy for you to check out and support Sean. Make sure you go and reach out to him and say hello. Say howdy. How you doing? Now, before we wrap it up, Patreon is the place to go if you want to support this podcast. If you want to throw me a couple of bucks, nice and easy, you can set and forget, starting at a dollar. Nice little feel-good payment. Don't even think about it. Just like chuck me a dollar a month. Nice and easy. But if you want exclusive content, access to some fun stuff, including a weekly podcast episode only on Patreon, then there are some additional tiers there, if I can speak English. There you go. Now, a little shout-out to my social circle tier, my top tier supporters. These guys significantly contribute to the podcast. These guys are absolute legends. So thank you so much to these kind folk. Andrew from Perth, Mick G from Sydney, Ash from Deniliquin, Dan from Dapto, Rod from Raleigh in North Carolina, Saul from Oxford in the UK, Patrick from Canberra, Liam from Brisbane, Chris from Sydney, and Brendo from Leeton in New South Wales. Thank you very much, folks. Much appreciated. And you guys have got a little newsletter that's out in the post at the moment. You may have already got it by now, but anyway, keep an eye on that post box. So thank you very much to those people on Patreon. Now, that's about it from my world. If Patreon's not your thing, then just a little bit of social media love. Get these podcast episodes shared around on the socials. Like, love, heart, retweet, comment, tag your mates, whatever. Goes a long way, and I'm sure the guests get a thrill out of seeing more people discovering their world as well from being on the Antisocial Podcast. And that's it, folks. Now, who's next week? I think I've got another musician. Yeah, can't remember. I've got a stack of musicians and a stack of other people that are lined up, ready to go, and we'll just see what happens. So thanks, folks. Thanks for listening, and until next week, ta-ta, bye-bye. Larry, please.